Or Shafiqullah rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that he said, for us to become Allah wala, for us to be the recognized of Allah ta'ala, is not something nafil. It is a compulsion upon us. It is a compulsion upon us. And then you find that the advices of the Ahlullah, what do? They help us navigate the challenges of our lives. Amen. To this extent, my dear friends, you find that in life, you find that the challenges will differ. So that is why we find that there is a continuous need so that we can attune ourselves to the teaching of the Mashayikh of the Ahlullah and so that we can be guided. In very simple terms, in the words of our Hazrat Shafiqul Umar rahmatullah alayh, the suhbat of the Ahlullah simply means that darkness departs and whiteness sets in. Darkness departs and whiteness sets in. My dear friends, with regards to our guest, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Saleem Sahib, Hafizahullah, requires no introduction. They are very, very unique characteristics in his personality also. May Allah Ta'ala preserve him and keep his shaykh salamah upon him for many, many years also, inshallah. That's, you know, his competence, his acceptance is something very, very unique. But there are one or two things, my dear friend, that actually stand out. And one is Hazrat's, you know, Hazrat's annihilation, his humility, and his passion in imparting the word of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other thing also, which was actually impressed upon me by our Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Bayjan Sahib, Hafizahullah from Sakkar, he says that, you know, understand this also, that we have a personality amongst us also, we have a personality amongst us who is the beloved of the beloved of Allah. He actually used these words also, so that is why we implore each and every one of you that you sit down with receptive hearts, sincere hearts, and then accept our intentions with this firm intention that inshallah Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of imbibing the lessons also and implementing our life. Jazakumullah.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. O you who believe, اتقوا الله fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier, a shield, a curtain between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into existence as the result of the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a strong barrier. Die in the door sin. In order to save yourself from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have to give your life, but don't sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Create a barrier between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which results in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever you may be. Whether you are in the masjid, whether you are at home, whether you are in the marketplace, whether you are alone, whether in public, whether in daytime, whether in the darkness of the night, create a barrier and keep that barrier. And creating this barrier between ourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which results in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is known as taqwa. And there are various stages of taqwa. The first stage of taqwa is that a person creates a barrier between himself and kufr, shirk and nifaq. So he believes from the depth of the heart in everything that is conveyed to him by his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he proclaims, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And thereafter he keeps this barrier between himself and kufr, shirk and nifaq. This is the first day of the war, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us without any effort on our part, alhamdulillah. Without our deserving. And despite our own shortcomings, that barrier remains 24 hours. This is the great father of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite our own shortcomings, we will find amongst the masses people who only come for each other. But this barrier is there. He believes in Allah, he believes in the angels, he believes in the Rasul, he believes in faith, he believes in the life hereafter, he believes in Jannah, he believes in Jahannam, he believes in the question in the day of Qiyamah, he believes in Kul Sirat. Allahu Akbar. This barrier remains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very easily does not deprive a person from this barrier. Barrier between ourselves and kufr, shirk and nifaq. The second stage of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a barrier between ourselves and bid'ah, innovations. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that vehicle for us as well. We shun bid'ah, innovations, and we love sunnah. Alhamdulillah. We love sunnah. And my friends, we must love sunnah to the extent that we adorn our lives with the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more we adorn our lives with the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more beloved we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to love someone and one is to become the beloved of someone. So if we become the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ushab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a very great ni'mat. But imagine we becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In comparison to the one who becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds no status. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great status. But in comparison to the one who has become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds no status. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّ وَإِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبَّ. It is not an excellence to love someone, it is an excellence to be the beloved of someone. And the Quran declares that if you follow in the footsteps of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you will become my beloved. I love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that the one who emulates him, who imitates him and who looks like him, who becomes like him, I also love him. He also becomes his beloved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare this. Qul, O my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your ummah, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni, fattabi'uni, follow in my footsteps. Yuhibbukum Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you his beloved. And when Allah will make you his beloved, wa yaqfir lakum dhunubakum, he will forgive all your sins. نقشِ قدم نبی کے ہیں نقشِ قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے حبی مختلف صحیح علیہ وآلہ تعالیٰ صحیح نقشِ قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے the footprints of نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم the footprints of نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is the path to جنت نقشِ قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے The footprints of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person is able to search for the footprints of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by sitting in the company of the ulama, by sitting in the company of the mashayikh, by learning from them, a person will be able to find the footprints of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person is able to find the footprints of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thereafter, if he was to follow these footprints without looking to the right, without looking to the left, he will find himself in Jannah. Nakshe kadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. This is the greatest achievement that a person is able to find the footprints of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. کہ تو لوگوں قلم تک پہنچا the poet says to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your mi'raj your greatest achievement your greatest excellence is that you were bestowed with an invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you were able to cross
the Sidratul Muntaha, you were able to see Lohi Mahfuz and the Qalam that writes on the Lohi Mahfuz. You are able to observe the Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and communicate with him. That is your mi'raj. What is my mi'raj, Allah Ummati? Meri mi'raj ke tu loho qadam tak pohja. Meri mi'raj ke main mere qadam tak pohja. My mi'raj, my excellence, my greatest achievement is that I search for your footprints and I find your footprints, and thereafter I tread this path that will lead me not only to Jannah, Naqshe Qadam Nabi ke hai Jannat ke raaste, but it will lead me to Allah and I will become the beloved of Allah. Naqshe Qadam Nabi ke hai Jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai Sunnat ke raaste. And in Sunnah means the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fuqaha have categorized the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in various parts. One part is faraid, the other part is wajibat, the third part is sunan-e-muakkada, the fourth part is sunan-e-ghair-muakkada, the fifth part is mustahabbat, and the sixth part is nawafil. These are four parts of Sunnah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to order the ummah, fattabi'uni, follow me. That means, follow me in faraid, follow me in wajibat, follow me in sunan-e-muakkada, follow me in sunan-e-ghair-muakkada, follow me in mustahabbat, and follow me in nawafil to the best of your ability. In faraiz you have no choice, wajibat no choice, sunan muakkada majority of the time no choice, and sunan ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, nawafil you have choice, but to the best of your ability follow me in these three parts of sunnah also. This is the whole sunnah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the word sunnah in the ahadith, it does not refer to the sunnats that the fuqaha have stipulated. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, one who loves my sunnah loves me. That means one who loves my whole being, my whole life. Man ahabba sunnati, one who emulates me, one who follows me and copies me in aqaid, one who emulates me, follows me in ibadat, in muamalat, in muasharat, in husn-e akhlaq, one who has love for the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunan muakkada, sunan ghair muakkada, mustahabbat and nawafil, this person has loved me. One who has viswaat only, but does not talk of hajj salat, how can he claim to love me? Man ahabba sunnati, one who loves my way, not my sunnah, one who loves my way, one who loves my style, one who loves my way of life, faqad ahabbani, he has loved me. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tusturi rahimahullah ta'ala says, alamatu hubbillahi hubbul Quran. The sign that a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his love for the Quran. How much does a person love the Quran? That is the thermometer. If a person has love for the Quran, that is the sign that he loves Allah. And if a person does not have love for the Quran, that is a sign that his heart is void of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, I am judge and jury for myself. Every individual is judge and jury for himself. Ask yourself, istafti qalbak. Ask yourself, I will ask myself, how much love do I have for the Quran? How much love do I have for the Quran? When I view a Quran, when my gaze falls upon a Quran, the Mus'haf, the book, do I experience any feeling in my heart? developer of his consciousness. When he is absent and when he arrives and when he is full journey, I feel something in my heart. One Amjad Sahib, one Naeem Sahib, all friends, when they depart, when we see them again, we find ecstasy in our heart, love in our heart, we experience something in our heart. Sometimes the tears begin to flow. When our gaze falls on the Mus'haf, how do you feel?
Subhanallah.
When our gaze falls on the Mus'haf, which is not placed in the correct manner, what is our behavior? When we pick up a Mus'haf in the masjid or at home to read the Quran, and if it is torn, if the binding is torn, if some pages are torn in the Quran, how do we feel? We will just close the Quran and put it on the shelf and take another one. Bishr Hafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala was one night, or during the day he was going somewhere and his gaze fell on a piece of paper with some inscription. So it's natural for a Muslim that when he sees a piece of paper with some Arabic inscription, he picks it up, assuming that it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he picked it up, he found that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was written on that piece of paper. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse from the glorious Quran. Only one verse. And Bishr Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala was an ordinary person, not even an ordinary Muslim. He was engaged, involved in many sins at this time. He was not a worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he had love for the Quran. So he picked this up, he went to the shop, and according to his ability, he bought a nice cloth, he bought nice perfume, according to his ability, respecting the Quran. And he perfumed the cloth, he cleaned this paper, he placed this paper in the cloth, he wrapped it up, and he put it on a high place in his home. And at night he went to sleep and he saw an angel in his dream. And the angel said that I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bishro. Ya Bishro, O Bishr. Tayyabta ismi. Tayyabta ismi. You have respected my name. لَوْتَيِّبَنَّكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ I have decreed that you will be respected in this world and also in the hereafter. And the respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala. The likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala used to frequent his majalis. And then one day somebody asked Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala that you are the Imam of the time. Why do you frequent your going to the majlis of Bishr Hafi rahimahullah wa ta'ala? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah wa ta'ala says that I can guide you towards the lawful and the lawful. So my company will teach you the lawful and the lawful. But the company of Bishr Hafi rahimahullah wa ta'ala will guide you and lead you to the Creator himself. Because he is from the people of Ahlullah. Imam Bishr ibn Hanbal rahimahullah wa ta'ala was a very great saint as well. But he used to go in the company of Bishr Hafi rahimahullah wa ta'ala. Respect the Quran. Respect the Mus'haf. And the love demands that we read the Quran on a daily basis with tajweed correctly. If our Quran is not correct at the moment, then we start reciting the Quran and simultaneously we learn the tajweed from somebody. But on a daily basis, we must learn the Quran. We must read the Quran. And we must also make a point of trying to understand the Quran from authentic sources by sitting in the company of authentic reliable ulama, or reading the fasir authored by reliable authentic ulama under the supervision of the present reliable authentic ulama. So reading the Quran, understanding the Quran, and thereafter implementing the Quran. This is the highest degree of love for the Quran. Alamatu hubbillahi hubbul Quran. Love for the Quran is a sign that the person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is the sign that a person loves the Quran? These were the a few signs. And alamatu hubbil Quran hubbun nabi. Love for Nabi is the sign, or love for Nabi is the sign that the person loves the Quran. Now how will one know whether he loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? Alamatu hubbin Nabi hubbus sunnah. Loving the sunnah, loving the whole way of life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And loving to this degree that one learns and practices, he adorns his life with the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the sign that he loves the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تَعَسِرْ رَسُولَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا الْعَمْرِ فِي الْفِعَالِ عَجِيبُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. You disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and despite disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you continually declare that I am Ashiq of Rasul, I am Ashiq of Rasul, I am the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You exhibit the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but your life is contrary to his teaching. This is something very, very strange, wallah. Wallah, this is something strange. Why? Because the principle is, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَتَعْتَهُ. If your love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was genuine, you would have obeyed him and you would have followed his teaching. Because the principle is, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبَّ مُطِيعُ. The lover always obeys the one who he loves. So this is the second stage of taqwa, my friend. Let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will learn the ahkam of sharia. The ahkam of sharia is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Performing fajr salat jama'at is sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miswak is sunnah. Similarly, performing fajr salat with jama'at is sunnah. Eating with the right hand is sunnah. Similarly, abstaining from evil is also sunnah. Giving zakat is sunnah. Giving zakat is also sunnah, which is further according to the fuqaha, but it is also the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as zakah is part of his life and sunnah, similarly, to purify the heart from akhlaqi razila, from debasing qualities, is also sunnah. So fattabiuni means make your outer life like mine and make your inner self like mine. If your outer life is according to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you entertain jealousy, you entertain malice, rancor, your heart is full of stinginess, miseriness, there is no sabr in the heart, there is no shukr in the heart, there is no tawakkul in the heart, you are not following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its entirety. So you are not the beloved of Allah. In order to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the highest degree, one has to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to do this, my friends, we will always remain in need of the ulama and the mashayikh.
MashaAllah.
In order for the whole deen and the complete deen to come in our lives, we will always remain in need of the ulama and the mashayikh. And only ikram of the mashayikh and ulama is not sufficient. In order for the whole deen to come into our life, we will have to benefit from the ulama and from the mashayikh. We will have to become their students. We will have to make ourselves think and believe that I am in need. Without his company, without learning from him, without his company, without taking instructions from him, I will not be able to fully, not only follow the sunnah, I will not be able to fully appreciate the sunnah. And if I am unable to fully appreciate the sunnah, how will I be able to fully implement the sunnah? Please, my friends, please, for the sake of yourself, I am speaking to myself also. I am also in need. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ Every person is in need. We all have our seniors. Every person is in need of the other. So let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will bring into our lives the fara'id, the wajibat, the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. We will try to bring into our lives the whole life. Whole life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the whole life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into our life, then man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. One who loves my way and one who implements my way faqad ahabbani, he has loved me. Wa man ahabbani kana ma'iyya fil jannati, and one who loves me will be with me in Jannah. This is the second stage of taqwa, that we create a barrier between ourselves and bid'at, ourselves and innovation. We create a barrier between ourselves and innovations and bid'at. And because we belong to that school of thought and we are affiliated to those ulama who are far away from bid'at, so we assume that I am also away from bid'at. There are, just as we make an error in understanding the word sunnah, we also make an error in understanding the word bid'ah. There are certain things in our minds, this is bid'ah, this is bid'ah, this is bid'ah, this is bid'ah, which the other school of thought is involved in, and because I am not involved in these things, I am not a bid'ati. What we do when somebody passes away, and what we do on the occasion of wedding, go to the ulama and ask them. If we go and consult the ulama, we will find that we are also with them. We need to check every move of our lives and see whether it is according to the sunnah, in conformity to sunnah, or is it in conflict with the sunnah.
MashaAllah.
Otherwise, my friends, we will not be able to show our face to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have only two chances on this. Only two chances. One is rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is shafa'at of our beloved Nabi sallallahu. And in order to become deserving of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to strive towards tazkiyah. And in order to become deserving of the shafaat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to strive towards learning the sunnah and implementing the sunnah. So we need to create this barrier. This is the second stage of taqwa. The third stage of taqwa, we create a barrier between ourselves and major sins. And the fourth stage of taqwa, we create a barrier between ourselves and the minor sins. We create a barrier between ourselves and major sins, that is the third stage of taqwa, and we create a barrier between ourselves and minor sins, that is the fourth stage of taqwa. And it is upon this third and fourth stage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised everything. So if one is unable to go to the fifth stage, or the sixth stage, or the seventh stage, he will still acquire so many blessings. But if one is able to accept, and he will accept, if a person reaches the fourth stage, and he remains firm on the fourth stage, Allah will Excel him to the fifth, and excel him to the sixth, and excel him to the seventh. But our aim should be this fourth stage of taqwa. That I want to purify my life and make sure there is no bidah in my life. There is no major sin in my life and there is no minor sin in my life. My friend, make this a target from today. That my life needs to be pure from sins. If the brother sitting here make this resolution today, that this will be my goal from today, then my coming all the way from the UK to Durban, my coming all the way, it will be a successful journey.
Mashallah.
It will not only be a successful journey, inshallah, I hope that if the brothers here resolve to do this, this only this will become the means of my salvation in the era. Let us resolve. I will die but not sin. I will die but not sin. Masiyat, guna, sin. Forget these words. Masiyat. They convey the same meaning. Masiyat, sin, guna, put them aside. The word we need to instill in our heart and minds is that this is not a sin. This is disobedience to my Creator who has created me and granted me everything. This is disobedience. Because sin has become a very light word. It's a sin. What is riba? It's sin. What is riba? Guna. What is riba? Masiyah. Leave this. They don't have any effect on us. When you say it's a sin, it's a major sin, it's a mighty, it doesn't have any effect on us. It is disobedience to Allah. It is disobedience to Allah. And disobedience to Allah, whether major or minor, is very great.
MashaAllah.
So, a person who loves his Creator, who understands the favor of his Creator, and then he looks at the major and the minor sins, he will not differentiate between the two. For him, both will be the same. How can I disobey my Creator? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, used to say the very thing, كُلُّ مَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ كَبِيرَةٌ. كُلُّ مَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ. Everything that we have been prohibited from, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, whether it falls in the category of major or it falls in the category of minor, فَهُوَ كَبِيرَةٌ, it is major. If I love my father, if I love my teacher, if I love my sheikh, if I love my uncle, if I love my imam sahib, I will not look at it from this angle that what he is asking me to do, is it something significant or is it something insignificant? No. I will not go against what he is telling me to do. I will not want to hurt him. He is very valuable to me. Very valuable, imam sahib, his tawajjuh, his du'as, my teacher, my ustad, my sheikh. Then how can we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's only a minor sin. It's only a minor sin. And we say this because we don't have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember this also, my friends, that a minor sin is a minor as long as a person does not undermine that minor sin. So there is a minor sin. For Hadithah that is minor, for me it is minor, for Morana 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 it is minor, it's minor for everybody. But if a person says it's only a minor sin, for him this sin has become major. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from minor sins and major sins. So this should be the resolution, that from today we will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am sure there may be many friends, especially my young friends, the youth. I am sure they are understanding what I am trying to say, but at the same time they are thinking within themselves that how can I make a resolution when I know I'm going to sleep? How can I make a resolution when I know I'm not going to be able to carry this out? So for these friends, and for all of us, I will say that make a firm resolution that I will never sin. I will never sin. And I say to my friends who cannot make this resolution with the heart and the mind, how can I make the resolution when the heart and the mind is saying that you are going to do this? So the heart and mind is not in your control, but the tongue is in your control. Turn to Allah and say that, Allah, I know I am lying. I know I am lying. My heart and the mind is not with me. My heart and the mind is bent in disobedience. I am so filthy that I cannot even convince my heart and the mind to think in the right direction. But Allah, I am grateful to you that at least you have given me power over my tongue. I am saying to you that, oh Allah, I have made a firm resolution, I will not sin. Use the tongue. Whether the heart supports the tongue or not, whether the mind complements the tongue or not, with the tongue say, oh Allah, I will not sin. Oh Allah, I will not. Oh Allah, I will not. Inshallah, a day will come when the heart will get affected by what the tongue is doing. The heart will feel embarrassed. The heart will, it's like a child who becomes pious, and the senior, the father, he will feel embarrassed. The child is not lying, how can I lie? The heart is superior to the tongue. If the tongue continually saying, oh Allah, I am repentant, I will not commit this sin again, and oh Allah, give tawfiq to my senior also, the heart. And after making this firm resolution, with the heart and the mind and the tongue, or only the tongue, try your best to stay away from it. A person has a habit of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through backbiting. If he will not make a firm resolution, he will freely backbite. And if he makes a firm resolution, he will be able to resist for at least 2 minutes. 2 minutes, he will be able to resist. That I have made a firm resolution, how can I backbite, how can I backbite? Then the nafs will overpower him, shaitan will overpower him, and after 2 minutes. These 2 minutes of obedience will go a long way in securing your position. 2 minutes of obedience. Make a firm resolution. Those young boys who go to college, who go to university, they think to themselves that is, I want to lower my gaze. I want to control my gaze, but it's not possible. And because it is not possible, why should I try? No, make a resolution. Make a resolution that I will. If you try, my dear friends, instead of glancing in the wrong place 100 times, you will glance 99 times. So you will come back home with 1 obedience. 99 disobediences and 1 obedience. And if you don't try, you will return home with 100 disobediences and 0 obedience. And this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a profound effect on the heart. And slowly, 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 this effect, this nur of obedience will engulf the heart. So when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, and then twice, and then thrice, 97, 3, 90, 10, 50, 50. Obedience will increase and disobedience will decrease. But you must make a firm resolution. Number one, firm resolution. Number one, make a firm resolution. Number two, ask Allah for help. So every day before you go to college or university, or after Fajr in the morning when you are going to the college or university, you don't have to take out extra time. Whilst walking to the university, just for 2-3 minutes, turn to Allah a few seconds and say, oh Allah, save me. Oh Allah, I have made a firm resolution, save me. Oh Allah, I have made a firm resolution, save me. I have made a firm resolution, save me. And then when you are in the university, try your best to resist. I am only giving example of one sin. We need to do this in every sinful activity. So we make a firm resolution. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. We try our utmost, and as soon as we slip, at the earliest opportunity, we need to say, oh Allah, I am sorry. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tawbah. Even if you have to do Tawbah 1,000 times in 24 hours. And Tawbah is also part of Taqwa. Taqwa is to carry out the dues of Allah and abstain from the don'ts of Allah. And what has Allah commanded? Don't sin. And if you sin, then repent immediately. So this is also part of Taqwa. Taqwa and Tawbah. T and T. Taqwa and Tawbah. Hold fast to Taqwa and Tawbah. And my friends, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guarantee that Allah will make you a waliya kamil. Because when we study the Quran and the Hadith, we find same virtues for the Quran. Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah loves those people who refrain from disobedience to Allah. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who disobey Allah and thereafter make a U-turn. Why? Why does Allah give the same virtue? Because when a person makes a U-turn, he becomes a muttaqi. So muttaqi and tawwabin is very similar. You are abstaining from sins, you are muttaqi. And when you make a U-turn, you are muttaqi again. So, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah has prepared Jannah for whom? أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah has prepared Jannah for those people with taqwa. And who are the people of taqwa? الَّذِينَ يَنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْقَادِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. According to one interpretation of the Mufassirin, this is for the ulama. According to one interpretation of the Mufassirin, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ quality number one. وَالْقَادِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ quality number two of the people of the world. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ quality number three. And quality number four, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَرَادُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And according to another opinion of the Mufassirin, Allah has mentioned only three qualities of the muttaqin. That Jannah is prepared for the people of taqwa who have these three qualities, who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circumstance. When they have money, they spend. When they are in dire circumstances, they spend. Those who swallow the anger and those who forgive people. These are the qualities of the muttaqin. And one dhazina idha faru fahishatan is not the quality of the muttaqin. Allah says, Uiddat dil muttaqin. Allah has created Jannah for the people of taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. And Allah has created Jannah for those people who sin and then repent.
Subhanallah.
Same virtue. Same virtue. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. One who is a muttaqi, one who abstains from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will create a way for him out of problems. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ لَذِمَا تِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ذِيكٍ مَخْرَجًا. One who holds fast to tawbah and istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him to leave from any difficulty that he is in. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create relief for him from any anxiety. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. مَنْ لَزِمَ الِاسْتِغْفَارَ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. تَقْوَى تَوْبَة. Both have same virtues, because as a result of tawbah, a person who was deprived of taqwa is again bestowed with taqwa. So hold fast to taqwa first. I will give my life but not sin. But if we sin, if we take the wrong turn on the motorway, on the highway, if we take the wrong turn, what do? We try to make a U-turn as soon as possible. So we are human, we are not Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We will make mistakes. We will make mistakes. But as soon as we make a mistake, we must make a U-turn. A U-turn at the earliest opportunity. And make toba. Make toba. Allah. Jo nakam hota, rahi umar bhar bhi. Bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. We are the aashik of Allah. We are the aashik of Allah. Even the mu'min and the believer of a very blessed believer who does not even come to the masjid, it is his desire also that I wish I was the lover of Allah. This is the sign that he is already a lover of Allah.
Lover,
but of all, he has not reached the stage of wilaya. He is the lover of Allah. But he has not reached the stage of wilaya. So the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to make his beloved happy. And in order to make the beloved happy, one has to stay away from everything that displeases the beloved. So a person tries, but he fails. So the poet is saying, Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, that person who fails throughout his life, baharhal koshish to aashik na chode. But because he is aashik, he should continue his efforts until he breathes his last.
Ye
rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. He should keep this connection of love with the creator through tawbah. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Jo soba hai toote, jo soba hai toote. As a result of this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this connection breaks 100 times, then through tawbah he should join it 100 times.
Allah.
Tawbah is a needle and a thread. Tawbah is a needle and a thread which teaches the tone relationship with the creator. Great memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Tawbah. Allah. But Shaitan knows the importance of Tawbah. Shaitan knows. So our frame of mind is that I repented in the month of Ramadan, in 2000 also, then 2001 again, 2002 again, 2003 again, it's 2018 I repented, but 5th of Shawwal, that is as far as I can go. Alhamdulillah, 5th of Shawwal, so 5 days. Only if you had repented again on the 5th of Shawwal. And thereafter if you failed on the 6th of Shawwal, only if you had repented again. And if you have failed on the 7th of Shawwal, only if you have repented again. Every good deed and every evil deed has an effect on our spiritual life. Like banana has an effect on our physical life, milk, apple. Everything that we eat has either a positive effect or a negative effect. Amala Sadhana has a positive effect on our life, spiritual life, which we cannot see, which we cannot feel. And amale bad, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negative effects on our lives. The effect of tawbah is not only that sins are forgiven. No. As a result of the effect of tawbah, the greatest effect of tawbah is that the strength to resist the sins increases. The stamina to resist the sin increases.
Allah.
So let's say we have a person, may Allah save God one of us, who consumes drugs or who consumes alcohol or who is engaged in the filth of adultery, fornication. He repents today. He repents the following day. He repents the third. Every time he commits his sin, he repents. And for 6 months he feels that nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Something is happening, but you cannot see. When we plant a seed, and when we water the seed every day, a lot is happening inside, but we can't see. We will see it after 2-3 months, that something is happening. A lot is happening inside. Continue repenting, my friends, after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, the effect of this tawbah will be seen by yourself. What will happen? You are able to resist the sin only for 24 hours. Now when you make tawbah, you are able to resist it for 2 days. Soon you will find that now you are able to resist it for 7 days. And soon you will find that you are able to resist that same sin for 1 month, thereafter 6 months, and a time will come when you will begin to despise and hate that sin. This is the effect of Tawbah. And Shaitan knows this effect. It is for this reason Shaitan deceives us. What's the point of Tawbah? What's the point of Tawbah? I make Tawbah, I repent, and then return to the sin again. I repent, I return to the sin again. I repent, I return to the sin again. Repent, my friends. Even if you have to do it 1,000 times, and even if the heart and mind does not support you with that time, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I am making a resolution, I will not do this again. Inshallah, the heart will support us. And even if the effect of Tawbah was not this increase in the stamina of resistance, there is a lot of difference between a person who makes Tawbah and a person who doesn't make Tawbah. What is the difference? Let's take an example of a person A and person B. We have two friends, person A, person B, young in their teens, late teens, early teens. Every day, either of them knocks at the door of the other and says, let's go out for the night. They go out for the night and they return on a daily basis, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Both of them sin. And it is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that through the barakah of the nur of iman, whenever a mu'min commits a sin, sooner or later, within 24 or 48 hours, something knocks at the heart of the door of his heart. Something knocks at the door of his heart. Especially during the night when this person is reclining or lying down in his bed trying to sleep. So person A returns home, person B returns home after a very filthy night, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat knocks at the door of both the hearts. Person A repents. Person A says, oh Allah, the heart is supporting the tongue as well, and I am making you witness that I will never commit a sin. I will not go tomorrow with person B. I will stay away from every disobedience, every bad company, every bad environment. Person B also receives this rahmat, but he ignores. Shaitan deceives him. What's the point? You will not be able to restrain yourself. And this continues daily. The following day, again, person B knocks at the door of person A. Person A is again falls into the trap of Shaitan and he lives daily. For how many years? Any amount, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. If a person repents daily, it will not last for 80 years, but just an example. Just to encourage my brothers to repent, the difference between the two. After 80 years, both of them go during the night, and after returning from their filthy night, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat knocks here and rahmat knocks here. Person A says, oh Allah, forgive me, I will not do this again tomorrow. And person B goes to sleep. And both of them died in the night. You know what is the difference between the two? The difference between the two is, person A will be resurrected sinfully. Because he was repenting sincerely daily. So there was nothing in the account. So person A will be resurrected as a body. Same life. The only difference is Tawbah. There is no other difference. Exactly, copy to copy. No salat, no salat, no zakat, no zakat. Disobedience to parents, everything same. This person repents daily, this person doesn't. When they are resurrected, person A will be resurrected as a wali of Allah, person B will be thrown to the fire. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a bihaya, create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you slip, and you will slip. If you slip, in order to create this barrier, use all the resources. Ulama and mashayikh. Ulama and mashayikh take part in dini activities, go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend time in the dini and environment for as many days as possible. All these things help the person. going in the environment, spending time in the environment of the masjid, coming back with the boost and with the zeal to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now turning to the ulama to understand the path, to understand the path of Jannah, and sitting in the company of the ulama to acquire the energy to work this path. These three departments go hand in hand. It's a triangle. So using these resources and doing whatever we can to bring taqwa in our lives, we use these resources and we try our utmost to abstain, and every time we make a mistake, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, I am making a firm resolution, I will not disobey you, I will not disobey you, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah help me. Continue with this cycle. And a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you wilayah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena aamanu taqullah. Oh you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and kufr shirk and nifaq. Create a barrier between yourselves and bid'ah. Create a barrier between yourselves and major sins and minor sins. Why? Because when a person engages in minor sins will lead to major sins. And when a person engages in major sins, it will lead to bid'ah. And when a person engages in bid'ah, it will lead to kufr. So Allah very affectionately is saying, O you who have been granted this great ne'mat of Iman, in order to secure this great ne'mat, and in order to protect this great ne'mat, so Allah is not threatening us or frightening us, the fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. No, Allah is saying the greatest ne'mat. Because if you go from this world with Iman, you will never be able to save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, and you will never be able to enter Jannah. You will burn in the fire of hell forever and ever. And you are so fortunate, my servant. You are so fortunate that you have been granted Iman. Now I am showing you the way of protecting that Iman. Ittaqullah. Create a barrier between yourselves and major and minor sins and bid'at. Otherwise, if you do not, then it will lead you to kufr, it will lead you to nifaq, it will lead you to shirk. So taqwa is a safeguard for Iman. Taqwa is security for Iman. Now what is safeguard and security for taqwa? Wakunu masadikin is safeguard and security for taqwa. Through wakunu masadikin, taqwa will come in our lives. Through kunu masadikin, taqwa will increase in our lives. And through kunu masadikin, taqwa that we have acquired, which has progressed, will remain secured and safeguarded. And the more the taqwa increases, the more the quality of Iman increases. The more the taqwa increases, more the Iman becomes strong, and more difficult it will be for shaitan to snatch away this Iman from our hearts when we are departing from this world. Wakunu ma'as sadiqin. And what is the meaning of sadiqin? Sadiqin, and be with the truthful, remain with the truthful. Sadiqin, truthful. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The sadiqin are the muttaqin. Sadiqin are the muttaqin. So in essence Allah is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because if you stay in the company of wealthy people who are absorbed in wealth, or not wealthy people, if you stay in the company of those people who are always concerned about wealth, you will also become concerned about wealth. If you sit in the company of those people who enjoy cigarettes, you will begin to enjoy cigarettes. If you sit in the company of those people who enjoy music, you will also enjoy music. If you sit in the company of those people who have taqwa, you will very soon be able to experience the sweetness of taqwa, and you will also become muttaqin. So Allah is saying, O you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and major sins, minor sins, so that this Iman is safeguarded, And in order to be able to create this strong barrier between yourself and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need the company of those people who already have that barrier. وَكُنُوا مَعَ السَّابِقِينَ. And how will we recognize the people of taqwa? وَكُنُوا مَعَ السَّابِقِينَ وَكُنُوا مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. I am concluding. How will we recognize the people of taqwa? How do we know that this is the company for you? There are three signs that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith. When you see these three signs in a person, that means he is a person of taqwa. He is the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sign. Number one, sign number one. When you meet him, every time you meet him, you always return after learning something new. Whether it is significant or insignificant, you learn something new. You learn something new. Learn something new in regard to the hereafter. Number one. Second sign. When you sit in his company, when you are in his company, the inclination towards the worldly aspirations decreases, and the inclination towards the ukhrawi aspirations increases. Even for a moment during that gathering or whatever. And sign number three, when your gaze falls on his face,
mashallah,
his face reminds you of Allah. Idha ru'u dhukira Allah. When you see him, when you sit in his company, when you're walking around with him, then it reminds you of Allah. Idha ru'u dhukira Allah. When your gaze falls on their faces, If a person seriously with dalal goes to somebody who is a muttaqi, this will happen. All three things will happen. If you go with the correct intention, all three things will happen. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that we want to safeguard iman. In order to safeguard iman, we will make shukra to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned yesterday. Because when we make shukra upon a ni'mat, Allah increases that ni'mat. We will continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect this ni'mat. Because yesterday I mentioned my late Haji Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah, my late mentor Haji Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah, saying that darne wala, maangne wala, the one who asks is never denied. So shukr, dua. Number three, by sitting in the company of those people who are firm iman. And number four, and this is the main cure, this is the main safeguard, creating a barrier between ourselves and disobedience to Allah. In order to create a barrier between ourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to connect ourselves to the muttaqin, the ahlullah, the mashayikh, sit in their company, learn from them, and follow in their footsteps and follow their instructions. If we do this, my friends, we will go a long way in securing our iman, because the company of the pious is security for taqwa, and taqwa is security for iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم.
الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم انك انت العز الاكرم اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما اخرنا وما اسررنا وما اعلنا وما انت عالم به منا انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن اوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تهب قلوبنا من البلاد وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تمنا مكرا اللهم لا تمنا مكرا ولا تنسنا ذكرا ولا تهتك عنا سترا اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترا اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترا ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم انا نسالك ايمانا لا يرتد وكريما لا ينفد ومرافقه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في اعلى درجه الجنه جنه الخلد اللهم اجعل خير اعمالنا وخير اعمالنا واخيرا
والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.